Murphy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
That's a little tribute to one of the greatest football players the Chicago Bears ever had the pleasure of throwing out there on the field. Dick Butkus, who died at the age of 80, apparently of natural causes. And he would literally, just looking at him, scared you off the field. He was, in my opinion, from all of the tacklers I've ever seen, the most violent tackler in the history of the NFL. That guy was like an out-of-control freight train.
Do you remember Deacon Jones, who was played for the Rams, gave him the greatest compliment?
What did he call
him? He said, that man, every time he tackled you, he tried to put you in the cemetery.
Yes. There was no question that if somebody got accidentally injured from a Butkus hit, he wouldn't come back and apologize for it. He was all... I don't know. He was like a huge bull out there. And I was saddened to hear that he had passed away.
But for 80 years old, an ex-NFL player, that's not bad.
No, it's not.
Especially
for a guy that, when you're out there that many years taking all those hits like he must have.
He didn't have all the safety features we have today.
No, he certainly didn't.
He had a concussion. He got smelling salts, and he went back in.
I remember in one game with the Bears, and he didn't cause it, but a player on the other team died on the field, and he was standing on the field. He was pointing to the guy. He said, this guy's not moving.
Wow.
It turned out, I don't know what team it was. It was from the other team. The guy had died. Butkus had not hit him, but it was, I don't know, it was very, very... very sad situation. Anyway, Bear Down Chicago, and they won last night. Finally they win a game. I think they went to Washington to do it.
They did, and they came out like gangbusters. Throwing down the field. They were up 17-0.
Maybe the spirit of
the first quarter.
Wow. Spirit of Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Beloy Show. I am Paul Beloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you very much for being with us. On this Friday, October the 6th, we have a lot going on. Boy, oh boy. In a few minutes, Preston Cooper of the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity is going to be here. We're going to talk about the newest attempt by Joe Biden to forgive student loan debt, this time about $9 billion with a B. Doesn't he understand the Supreme Court said he can't do that? Anyway, we'll talk with Preston Cooper about it. And the Biden administration gives in on the border crisis, although they won't admit that. They say they're going to erect about 20 or 25 miles worth of border wall in South Texas. So we'll talk about why the change of heart, and is it really too little too late? And Donald Trump continues to be in the news. He declares his choice for Speaker of the House, while saying at the same time he would serve in that role in the interim. Wow. I wonder if he will. Let's see what happens. We're going to talk about that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 causes of death in America. The Center for Disease Control comes out with it, and we'll tell you what the top 10 are. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrews Master Barbershop for the best haircut for men in Tampa Bay. I'm telling you, you got to get over to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, whether it's tree enhancement, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever. If it has to do with trees, they are the best. Tampa Bay's best. Call them for a free estimate. Call Arbor Life at 727-330-1999. All right, so the September jobs report is out. It shows that the U.S. economy reportedly added 336,000 jobs in September, more than they expected. And it defies, apparently, fears of some sort of a slowdown, even as the labor market confronts the twin threats of sticky inflation and high interest rates. So this is the Labor Department report. Now, sometimes this number, a couple weeks later, comes crumbling down. We'll see if it stays up there. But 336,000 jobs sounds good. That's nearly double the 170,000 forecast by some economists. And it marks the best month for job creation since January. Meantime, our unemployment rate held steady at about 3.8%. But keep in mind, the unemployment rate is misleading. The unemployment rate is based on how many people file for unemployment. It does not include all those people that do not file for unemployment but are not working. And that makes the number much higher. So anyway, you know, it's good to have a little bit of good news. I don't know what the stock market is doing right now. They usually will react to something like that. I will take a look at it a little bit later. In the meantime, what is going on at the border? And this is an Alice in Wonderland story. Homeland Security Secretary Alexandro Mayorkas backtracked yesterday from what the Biden administration was saying in the allowance now of border wall construction in South Texas, some 20 to 25 miles worth. Mayorkas said that there is no new policy with respect to the border wall, even though they're going to go down there and build some right now. He says, from day one, this administration has made clear that a border wall is not the answer. So he's saying the border wall is not the answer. Joe Biden goes, answers a question yesterday, and he says the border wall doesn't help anything. And yet they're going and building it. So what's going on? Why are they doing that? It's really strange. Mayorkas went on to say, this remains our position, and our position has never wavered. The language in the Federal Register notice is being taken out of context, and it does not signify any change in policy whatsoever. In the meantime, there have been more than 245,000 migrant encounters in the in that sector, the Rio Grande Valley sector, it's called. This is in South Texas. 245,000 encounters with migrants in this fiscal year. Mayorkas says he's going to waive 26 federal laws, including the Clean Air Act, the Safe Drinking Water Act, and the Endangered Species Act, to allow them to build the wall. Now, let's get to the truth. They're building the wall because a bunch of Democratic mayors are screaming about all of these illegal immigrants that are flying into their city, including New York and Chicago. They are pouring in. And all of a sudden, when the Democrats howl, then they're going to do something about it.
I think New York Mayor Eric Adams went to visit the wall.
He's going to visit the wall, border, you know, for a photo op. Mm-hmm. I mean, the border, correct. Yep. And the same thing with that mayor in Chicago, Johnson or whatever his name is. He's screaming. But the people, like I was watching a bunch of people in Chicago, black people, screaming about what are you allowing all of this when we're not getting such and such? That's why they're doing this. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why. So we'll talk a little bit more about that, I am sure, later in the show. But we're going to take our break right now, and we will change horses. Preston Cooper will join us after the break, and we're going to talk about the newest attempt by Joe Biden to forgive student loan debt.
eyes, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back on a Friday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. Delighted to have Preston Cooper join us. He is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity, and we're going to talk about the Biden administration's decision, or I should say attempt again, to forgive $9 billion in student loan debt. You would think that they would learn from Supreme Court when they slapped down this earlier attempt, but apparently not. Preston, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thank you for having me back.
Absolutely our pleasure. So, after a hiatus of about 3 years, student loan payments are starting up again. And what does Joe Biden do? He's come up with a new plan, apparently. Tell us what he is trying to do regarding student loan forgiveness.
Yes, well, it's not just plan, it's plans. So, you know, as you mentioned, that President Biden was smacked down by the Supreme Court in June, who said, you know, you can't just unilaterally forgive $400 billion worth of student debt because it's not authorized by Congress. So what the administration then did is they went looking for, you know, places where Congress had authorized limited student loan forgiveness in the law, and basically decided to really expand upon those very limited occasions that Congress had authorized. And the result that we're seeing is that they're creating all these new loan forgiveness plans through things like income-driven repayment, public service loan forgiveness, borrower defense repayment, to forgive all hundreds of billions of dollars worth of student loans. And the result of all this is that all these new forgiveness initiatives are probably going to be more costly in the long run than the one-time forgiveness that was struck down by the Supreme Court in June.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, are they really going to get anywhere with this? I mean, isn't this just a charade? They know the courts are going to slap this down. He has no authority. It's got to come from Congress.
That's right, yes. And so they do have a little bit of a fig leaf here, because Congress did say, you know, several years ago that you can get your debt forgiven if you were a public servant for 10 years. But what President Biden has done is that they've taken that program, that public service loan forgiveness program, and they've waived a bunch of the requirements. So they say, well, you might not actually have to work in public service for 10 years, or you might not actually have to be making payments for all those 10 years, but you can still get your loans forgiven anyways. And a majority of the debt that's been forgiven under this program has been forgiven for people who didn't actually meet all the requirements. So it really is a backdoor way to manipulate the law in order to get more student loan forgiveness out the door.
But don't you think that they're going to Republicans and others are going to file right away, and it's going to get into the courts? I would think this is going to get stopped rather quickly.
I would hope so, but I think this has been flying under the radar a little bit because a lot of the oxygen in the room was sucked up by the one-time student loan forgiveness plan, which the Supreme Court already struck down. And it's a different legal authority they're talking about here with these new loan forgiveness plans. You have to go through that process all over again. And, you know, whether they're actually going to be able to do that before all the money goes out the door, it's a big question mark. So I'm actually not confident that the courts are going to smack them down on this latest plan.
I wonder how they... In other words, if they are going to re-describe what public service is, no one's going to be able to say, wait a second, this is not the intent of the original public service requirement for a student loan forgiveness. I mean, it would seem to me that a judge will look at this and say, they're just trying to skirt the law. I can't see how this is going to hold up. I just can't. I mean, I really can't. I mean, I can't see a judge worth his salt allowing that.
That's true, but somebody has to sue first, and to sue and in order to sue, you have to have standing. And I hope they will get past that hurdle. But I hope so.
I'm sure they will.
I think you're more confident than I am. I wish I had your confidence.
No, I think they will. I think if it ever got to the Supreme Court, it's going to be smacked down again. In my opinion, let me ask you this, Preston. And by the way, we're talking with Preston Cooper. He's a senior fellow at the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity. That's quite a... tell us a little bit about your foundation, by the way. Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity. What exactly do you mean by that?
So we're a think tank based out of Washington, D.C., and we focus on lowering the cost of goods and services that are really putting a dent in the pocketbook of everyday Americans. So the cost of higher education, the cost of healthcare. We're into, you know, rolling back government regulations, government interventions that are driving up the cost of all these necessities. And we're into expanding opportunity to say that, you know, if you don't want to go to college, if you want to pursue an alternate path, there should be avenues available for you to do that, that not everybody should have to go to college, get the four-year degree, and take on debt that just is going to get forgiven by President Biden.
So let me ask you, what is the real intent of Biden doing this with student loans? Is it just to get votes from young people for his presidential salvation, or what?
I think that's certainly a big part of it. You know, you really can't ignore the political calculus here, that, you know, the folks that do have student debt, they tend to be younger, upper-middle-class professionals concentrated in cities. You know, that's President Biden's base. Those are the people that he needs to turn out if he wants to win the upcoming election. So I really don't think you can ignore the political calculation here. And I think what's really revealing is that they're forgiving all of this debt that was issued yesterday. And at the very same time, the Education Department is making over $80 billion in new loans every single year. And the Biden administration doesn't really seem to care about that fact. And so what's going to happen is we're just going to be back in this situation 5 years from now, even if you do forgive a bunch of the debt, because they're not actually fixing the system. And I would argue they don't actually want to fix the system.
Here's another thing. The cost of college has skyrocketed. It's just like anything else that the government gets its paws into. When the government got its claws into the healthcare industry, the cost of healthcare went through the roof. It started, actually, I would tell you, under Lyndon Johnson with the Great Society. Mm-hmm. The cost of health care, believe it or not, the cost of health care before that was not all that tough. It was pretty, you know, it was pretty good. But when the government gets involved in any product, it puts the product out of reach, actually, for most people. And this is what's happening both, obviously, in health care, but here now in the cost of... tuition. I mean, this is all this does is it raises the cost of college, does it not?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we have research to back this up. You know, researchers have looked at what happens when the government raises loan limits or sometimes eliminates them altogether. Colleges will just raise tuition in the year after. They will say, you know, the government's making all this money available. We might as well just raise our tuition to capture it. Because we know and we can tell our students that a lot of this is going to get forgiven anyways. So the students aren't really bearing the cost. The colleges aren't really bearing the cost. Who's bearing the cost is the taxpayer.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want the government involved in the private sector in any way, and that includes education. And here we are with the government, you know, interfering with students. And someone's got to pay the loan back. If it's not going to be the kid that's got the... the debt, then somebody else has to pay it, right? I mean, these companies that loan the money have to get paid back by somebody.
That's right. You know, so what we're really talking about here is not student debt forgiveness. It's more of a student debt transfer.
Yes.
When you, quote-unquote, forgive $400 billion worth of student debt, that doesn't just go away. That gets transferred onto the national debt, so it's the responsibility of you and me and all the future taxpayers who are going to have to pay that back.
Indeed. We're talking with Preston Cooper. Again, he's a senior fellow at the Foundation for Research on Equal Opportunity, and we have been talking about the student loan forgiveness attempt by the Biden administration. They're trying to go around the law. What else these days, Preston, is your organization focusing in on besides the student loan crisis?
Well, one thing we're really focused on is why we got into this place in the first place. And the reason that so many people are demanding student loan forgiveness, or one of the reasons, is that people have been promised that college is an investment that's always going to pay off. But our research shows that's not always true. You know, if you go and you go to a public school with low cost, you major in engineering or nursing or business or some other field that's going to lead to high wages, you're probably going to be able to pay back your student loans with interest. But if you major in, say, art or psychology or music, you go to an expensive school that charges $50,000 a year, or maybe if you don't even finish your degree, if you drop out halfway through, that's under those scenarios, you're going to be much less likely to pay back your loans. And that's when President Biden is going to say your loans are forgiven. And so we're really trying to help students figure out, you know, which of these college programs are a good bet, you know, which of these programs are actually going to lead to economic mobility and which are just a scam. Because I think right now we've been treating college as if it always pays off. And unfortunately, that's just not true.
Do you think college is becoming irrelevant?
I think in some cases it is becoming irrelevant. I mean, I think we're seeing a lot of employers, both state governments and private employers, say, you know, I'm not sure I really need to require a college degree for this job anymore because I'm not sure if college is actually teaching the skills that I need of my employees. And so we're seeing a lot of employers drop those college degree requirements. I think that in some cases you may still need college, you know, if you want to be an engineer and build bridges, you might learn some useful things in college in order to do that. But I think in a lot of cases, college is not necessary to have a good job or to have a good life. And many employers and many prospective students are starting to pick up on that.
Have you ever done any research on what the average tuition is these days? I know it's almost impossible to come up with a single number, but if you were going to, say, a state school, you know, generally, and you were going to go through a Bachelor of Arts degree, let's say, at the University of Florida or someplace, what could you be expected to pay these days, say, per year for your tuition?
Yeah, well, it's going to vary a lot depending on which school you go to. On average, for a public four-year institution, it's going to be about $9,000 a year.
Then,
of course, you have to add on top of that, you're going to be spending some money on room and board, and you're going to be giving up some wages while you spend time out of the labor force. So sometimes the hidden costs can be much higher than the sticker price.
Well, absolutely.
Cost.
If you went and in your room and board, you add at least several thousand dollars for room and board, I would think, in a year. So you're talking somewhere, if I'm not mistaken, somewhere around $12,000 to $15,000 a year.
Yeah, about that. And, of course, you can raise or lower that depending on your living arrangement.
Yeah.
If you want to live with seven roommates, you might
there
be able
go.
To lower the cost.
So let's say, you know, you're spending, and you come out of school, you spend about $50,000 for a four-year degree or for 4 years at a college. That is going to discourage a lot of people from going to college. And I'm wondering if this is going to end up and result in a new form of education. I wonder if this is slow, if we're seeing the demise of the college system as we know it.
Mm-hmm. I think that we're certainly seeing that happen in some cases. You know, we are seeing college enrollment drop. You know, college enrollment has been dropping
That's what
every
I mean.
Year since 2011. And the pandemic only accelerated that. It's now about 10-15% below its peak in the aftermath of the Great Recession. So certainly a lot of students are saying, you know, college is no longer for me. I don't think this is going to be a good bet. You know, it is still an option that some students are choosing. The bottom hasn't completely dropped out. But it certainly is becoming an option that that fewer students are choosing, in part because the other opportunities that might be available to them, such as apprenticeships, workforce training, trade school, are starting to develop some more. And those are increasingly looking like better options for some students.
Yes, indeed. Preston Cooper, it's been a delight talking with you about this. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing this information with us. Keep up the good fight, and I know we'll be talking again.
Thanks very much. You have a good day.
You too. Preston Cooper. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, the Donald has declared his choice for Speaker of the House. In the meantime, he said, yeah, I'll take up the job for a while. We'll talk all about it when we come back.
Wow! This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. Thank you so very much for listening. Golly, you're intelligent if you're listening to our show. And you're getting more intelligent all the time. So, the Donald, former President Trump, says that he will endorse Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan. He says he has his, quote, complete and total endorsement, unquote, for Speaker of the House, saying that he is respected by all. Trump went on to say, Congressman Jim Jordan has been a star long before making his very successful journey to Washington, D.C., representing Ohio's 4th Congressional District. As president, I had the honor of presenting Jim with our country's highest civilian award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So much is learned from sports, and Jim was a master. And then he went on to talk about Jordan's wrestling record. I think you need to be a good wrestler if you're running around Congress, especially if you want to be Speaker of the House. In the meantime, Trump says in the interim he would accept a short-term role as the Speaker of the House. You know who had been talking about that before, and I kind of laughed it off? The Master Barber, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew is with us. Andrew, do you think Donald Trump will end up being an interim Speaker of the House?
I think he should be the Speaker of the House. Forget the interim. I think he should be the Speaker of the House.
Really?
Then he could investigate the people that are investigating him.
Yes. Yes,
okay,
he could.
Then he could get rid of Biden and Camilla. He's president.
Yes, we can go ahead and continue to dream this. He says, I would only do it, meaning take the speaker job, for the party. And he mentioned, you know, he said a lot of people are talking to him and they're bringing up his possibility. He said he would take the speakership for a short 30, 60, or 90-day period. He'd be a busy man. Speaker of the House, running around with all these court cases. He'd be on a plane all the time, would he not? Running around doing all that kind of thing? Wow.
He could handle it. It shows you he's full of energy, like the rabbit.
Yeah, if anybody could handle it, you're right. He could. Now,
well, he'd have a ball for 90 days, wouldn't he?
I think so. It would really be something.
That's a good idea.
Now,
but, you know, Jim Jordan is a good pick. I think he could unite the party. And I think what's going on needed to happen. There's no question about it.
The only problem with having Jim Jordan as the speaker is that he would not be able to focus his attention on the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, controversy with the money laundering, etc. You know,
well, I'm quite sure we got some people capable of handling that.
Yeah, fair enough. So Ron DeSantis was in Tampa. Downtown Tampa yesterday, he accepted the endorsement of 60 Florida sheriffs, and that gave him an opportunity to push his preserving law and order philosophy. He also used the event to go after Trump, hitting him on immigration, his conservative bona fides, his campaign expenditures, and a few other things. So He's taken the gloves off, has he not, when it comes to Donald Trump?
He's got no choice at this point, Paul, but it's not going to do him no good, because you got to realize the more he talks about Trump, the more he gets 80 million people upset.
Well, he's still kind of, he's the only one that's close, not really that close, but let's say he's a distant second. But
he's hoping something happens to Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well, also,
this was viable at this point to him.
Now, of the 60 Florida sheriffs that endorsed DeSantis, 37 of them had backed Trump in 2020, including Pinellas Sheriff Galateri, Sheriff of Pasco County, the Sheriff of Hernando, and Hillsborough. So why do you think they made a change and decided to back Ron DeSantis?
They're looking for promotions. Who wants to be in the FBI? Who wants to be the CIA? They're looking for promotions.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think you got to remember, too, even though he's running for president, he's still the governor of Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if they endorse Trump, that might cause a rift, especially if you don't think he's going to win.
Yeah, so they're trying to protect their backsides.
Yeah.
Okay.
They really play the easy road.
I like DeSantis, and I've said this before. I think he would be an excellent president.
I think he would, too.
I think he does have conservative credentials. You cannot argue against the kind of background that he has. He's a military guy. He's very intelligent. Like you've said, Andrew, he's got a photographic memory. He brings everything you would want, in my opinion, to the role of president. And I think he's a go-getter. He would get things done. I think Trump did the same thing. But I really, where Trump is more of a populist and doesn't mind spending billions and billions of dollars, I think DeSantis might be more focused on a conservative philosophy when it comes to our expenditures.
There's one thing that Ron is lacking, Paul.
Yeah, go ahead.
And that's business. He has no business
but
experience.
I would respectfully argue that he does. As a governor, you have to have a good business background. You can't run a state without being fiscally responsible. And he's done a very good job of that so far, in my opinion.
Well, Paul, you got to realize, too, he walked into a growing economic state. Our economy was beginning to boom when he first came.
Yes, that's true. Yes, Florida.
So that helped him out a lot.
That's.
Hey, I think Ron would be great. It's all timing. I just don't believe now is the time.
Okay. Let's see here. What else is going on that we can... I got to talk to you about this one. This is kind of interesting, Andrew. You hear about this? In Virginia, Roanoke College women's swimming team, they all got up and are taking a stand against the entry of a transgender onto their team. They do not want this transgender. I think the decision has already been made. But these 10 members got up and said that they are very, very upset. Their parents were there. Riley Gaines, remember her? She was a teammate of a former teammate of Leah Thomas, that transgender that came along. So they were in the crowd. The 10 said they had been the 10 swimmers said they had been demoralized and hurt to learn that a biological male who was not being named would be attempting to pull a Leah Thomas on them. So I just can't see that this transgender thing has got any legs. It's going to collapse. I don't think the NCAA can continue to allow it. It's just upsetting too many people.
Well, the girls are doing the right thing. Matter of fact, all the girls' teams throughout the country ought to do the same thing.
Exactly.
Party's over.
And I think, you know, they've been afraid to do it, and I don't blame them. If I was in their situation in college, I can understand they don't want that pressure. They have enough pressure as it is. But it takes
No.
It takes
my generation would have fought that, believe me.
Well, I hope so, but it would have been such a change. I mean, our generation back then, it would have been such a shock to the system. It would be easier to do it. But in today's day and age, it takes a lot of guts to get up. You know, I mean, you know you're going to have people start yelling and screaming and threatening you to do it. Anyway, you know, it's kind of a... I'm glad to see it. Let's see. What do you think about this whole border wall situation, Andrew?
You know, is it my imagination, or is it that the Democrats always eat their own words?
I think it's true. With a little salt and pepper, maybe it'll taste better on the way down. But the funny thing is... They're allowing the border wall to be extended, and at the same time saying that they're not really doing it. I mean, it's almost an Alice in Wonderland situation.
There's a clip.
Well, you want to hear the best part about it is the goof sat there and sold all the materials to build it for pennies on the dollar. Now you got to buy it all over again.
Yeah,
there's a clip of Biden from 2020 saying, while I'm president, not another dollar will That's be spent right. on the wall.
Absolutely right.
Not another dollar.
Yeah. And so here he goes, and they don't even kind of want to. And then they say, well, we haven't changed anything. We have our policy. Mayorkas gets up and says, we haven't really changed anything. And Biden says, well, I'm being forced to do this by the House. What?
You know,
what? You're being forced all of a sudden to do it by the House? What happened for the first 2.5 years?
You know, it's amazing that they sat there and he emptied the oil reserve that Donald Trump got for $24 a barrel, I believe it was. And they emptied the oil reserve. Now he's got to refill it on over $100 a barrel.
Yeah.
Now he's sold all the material to build the border wall. Now he's going to build everything he touches. And we're going to pay double for it. It would have been done already.
This guy is not only a criminal, he's a complete disaster.
He's a nutcase.
He's a nut. There's something wrong with him. You couldn't be worse. This is the worst president in my lifetime. I mean,
you're dealing with a president who's got Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah.
Let's be real. He belongs in a nursing home.
But even before he contracted these disabilities that he's got.
No, he was a nutcase then.
He's been a bad dude for a long time.
Does anybody really think that Joe Biden sits in the Oval Office at his desk and comes up with these ideas himself?
Of course not. And he's a puppet. We know that.
Well, who's it coming? Oh, I know he can barely talk.
Well, a lot of people think it's Obama.
I think it is, too. I really do.
I think there is a group of them that are pulling the strings.
I believe.
You would think that some reporter worth his salt would explain how the whole puppet show is going on.
I think you risk losing your credential.
Yeah, that's possible.
You have to be careful.
I know you do.
You know.
Fear.
Ask Peter Ducey. He
has guts.
He's Fox, so he's on Fox, so he's a figure that's out there. But they'll you'll find yourself not getting any questions or anything like that.
Can you imagine if Donald Trump had a son that was going around as a bag man collecting money? Like he had.
That's what I said.
Can you imagine how many reporters would have been on that so quickly?
They're all on the payroll.
Look what they're doing now. I mean, look what they're doing now with his finances. And that's not even illegal, what he's done. Oh, supposedly what he's done, what he's accused of doing.
Oh, I mean, I think they got more than enough evidence to impeach him now.
No, they got to get more. This will go on for until he's done. Of course they got enough evidence. They should have done it a long time ago, but nobody's got the guts.
You could impeach...
McCarthy was helping him, believe me.
You could impeach Biden just on the way he's handled the border wall situation. He's completely abdicated the responsibility of the security of our country. Intentionally so.
Well, they've done that with the Constitution how many different times?
Yeah, absolutely right.
Did they sell all those unused pieces that were laying? Did they get rid of those? Scrap them?
They probably lost money on that, too.
Yeah. Pennies on a dollar.
Yeah, exactly right. So when is your staff coming back so that you're not manning the fort by yourself?
They won't be back till Friday.
Wow. A week from today?
Finally get off on Friday.
A week from today.
I'm going to try and hit a happy hour today. I need to drown my sorrows. I got to find out where Ed is going.
He's got to work. You got to work tomorrow.
Yeah, you do. Well, you can come over to Norton's tonight. I'll probably be there with the gang.
I want to know where Ed's going. He's the man about town.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Ed's the man about town. He needs to know where he's going.
Yeah, we need to find out what Ed's plans are for the weekend. Yeah, that sounds good. Well, it's always a pleasure to have you. Sound good, Andrew. Everything working out for you, right? Otherwise.
Everything is great. I couldn't ask for better except Donald Trump be president.
Well, you may get your wish. All right,
you guys, buddy.
All right, thanks, Andrew, so much.
You guys take care.
All right, buddy. The master barber himself. All right. Let's take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 causes of death in America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us on a Friday. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network, and we are so delighted when you can find the time to join us. However, if you're not able to hear us live, Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast, and you can listen at any time just by going to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. It'll open up. Ed's got all the shows, most recent at the top. You'll see who the guest is. You'll see the topic with the guest. You'll see our top 10. OurFreedomWorks.com. So, Ed, I was just thinking here, We got a few minutes before we do our top 10, and there's so much sports going on right now. We talked at the beginning of the show about the passing of Dick Butkus. We've got all the playoff. I hate to bring this up, but we have playoff baseball going on, and unfortunately, our beloved Tampa Bay Rays got eliminated by the Texas Rangers in two straight games here in Tampa Bay. Well, what happened to us? Did we? Well, we just didn't seem to. We didn't bring our bats, or what? What's going on?
We were talking about this the other day, and I think they didn't know who they were. They didn't have a confirmation who they were going to play until late Sunday. And I think that they thought they were going to see the Blue Jays again.
Toronto.
And I think that they were game planning that. And then in a twist, it was against the Texas Rangers.
Okay. And they were not mentally...
You know, they...
I mean, that's kind of a weak excuse, don't you
they
think?
They played... first game was horrible. They were making so many mistakes. It was almost like they were tanking the game. And just to get bounced in two games.
Wasn't that the case last year, too?
Yeah. We're not doing well in the last
three
years out in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, do you think, I hate to say this, Cash has done a great job with the players, but do you think his might be Kevin Cash, the manager?
Has he, though? Has he, though? I mean, has he done a great job with the players?
I'm saying that. That's what I wonder. I mean, to take a team with a low payroll, you know.
I understand.
And do well. And then all of a sudden, every playoff, we fall apart. What's going on?
You have to remember, he doesn't put the team together.
No.
The front office does.
Correct.
That's who should get the credit.
Fair enough.
Because they find the players and they put them on the field. And he coaches them.
So,
and I can tell you that pitchers don't like Kevin Cash.
Okay.
Because he pulls them, he puts them on a pitch count, and it's all about, in other words, if you go out there and you can pitch 8 or 9 innings, when your contract comes up, everybody around the league is going to want a piece of you.
Yes, and he pulls them in the sixth inning.
When you use 3 or 4 pitchers and only let them go 3 or 4 innings, you become less valuable on the market.
Okay, that's an interesting point.
And then when you're up, you know, 3 or 4 runs or whatever in the seventh inning, and you hold the other team to no runs and you pull your pitcher, the pitcher would come off the mound mouthing, what the F are we doing?
Oh, I see. Well, okay, but again, on the other side of this, he has managed the team into the playoffs. They've seemed to always exceed expectations during the regular season. And then they fall apart in the postseason. Why?
Let me give you an analogy. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers for years had a coach that they brought in for structure, gave him the structure. They had some success during the regular season. They had a great defense. But when it came to the playoffs, they kept getting bounced in the first round by the Philadelphia Eagles. And they decided they needed to make a change and get a coach that could get them over that hump. I'm talking about Tony Dungy.
Oh, you're talking about the football. Okay.
Was let go, and John Gruden brought in to get us over the hump.
Right.
So I'm saying that maybe...
So maybe we need somebody like that?
Maybe he just can't get them ready in the playoffs. If you're happy with winning 99 games, great, keep them. Mm-hmm. But I was very upset when they threw it when they had the locker room celebration because they made the playoffs. From the video I saw, it looked like they won the World Series, for crying out loud.
So they were overly excited.
They were celebrating second place.
Way too soon, yeah.
They conceded the fact that the Orioles were going to win the division and they were going to be the wild card.
So they weren't focused,
I don't think they were. To me, I would have been very upset about that celebration in this locker room because you won absolutely nothing.
Real quickly, are the Bucks playing this weekend?
The Bucks are off this week. They have a bye.
A bye. Okay, so we won't discuss
and
that.
And your Bears did win last night. I think it was 40-20 or something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now they're 1-4. They're not going anywhere, but at least they won again.
No, but their coach, there was rumors that your coach was going to be fired last night.
I don't blame them for having rumors.
Because he's like 3-30.
That was
terrible. Some 3-something, whatever it is.
He's been terrible.
Yeah.
Just terrible. Finally, I think the hockey season starts this coming week.
Yes, it does. I think Tuesday night.
I'm getting excited. I'm really excited about our Lightning.
Yeah, but our goalie's out for 2 months.
Yes. Vasilevskiy. What's going on with him? Do you know?
He had a herniated disc.
Oh,
he had that prepared.
Bad.
Yeah,
those things can be
2 months, and then when he's back, you don't know if he's at 100%.
Exactly right. Okay, and it's time for our top 10. I think this is an interesting one. The Center for Disease Control has come up with the top 10 most recent annual causes of death in the United States. Among a total of 3.5 million deaths in 2021, this is the most recent year for which the data is available, almost 75% of those deaths were attributed to 10 causes, all right? Here they are. Number 10, kidney disease.
Really?
Kidney disease. I wouldn't have thought it either.
That's what the dialysis is for.
I know. Over 54,000 people died from kidney disease. Number 9, liver and cirrhosis disease. Mm. A lot of alcoholism, you know, that takes its toll. 56,000 plus.
Unfortunately, working in a nightclub for 17 years, I saw quite a few cases of that.
Yeah, but you were able to keep yourself sober.
Yeah, well, I mean, I worked there. I didn't drink.
Yeah, I know, exactly. All right. Number 8. Diabetes. Mm. Yeah, we know how bad diabetes. It's, I think a lot of people don't realize how bad that is. 103,000 plus died from that in 2021. Number 7, Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's will eventually even stop the functioning of your basic pulmonary system. Did you know that?
Yeah.
And
it's all about the brain shutting everything down.
It's exactly correct. And it's 119,000 people that died from it. Number 6, chronic lower respiratory diseases.
Hmm.
Lower respiratory. 142,000 plus died from that. Wow. Number 5, stroke.
Hmm.
You know, it just takes a moment for the blood flow to stop in the brain and you can have a stroke. 163,000.
Mm.
Number 4. Number 4 is accidents. All the accidents.
Car accidents.
Car accidents. Any kind of an accident where you die. 225,000 people died in the United States. Number 2. The big C. Cancer.
Mm.
Yeah. Cancer. We know about that. 605,000 plus people died from cancer. All right, Ed, you've been listening. What do you think's number one cause of death?
I'm going to say heart disease.
Bingo! That is exactly it. 696,000 people died from heart disease. So it is clearly the biggest killer. It's been the biggest killer of people for a long time.
Yeah, and that could be any. That's kind of a broad brush.
I think all of us know of somebody. I know of some people that have died from it.
It could be heart attack. It could be enlarged heart. It could be irregular heart. Whatever.
I had two good friends. Both of them died and dropped. One was at work and one was walking down the street with a fatal heart attack.
Yeah.
All right, my friends. We thank you so very much for being with us. We hope you have a wonderful weekend and a safe weekend. We want you back next week to listen to our show. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Cammie McCormick. Good news on the jobs front. Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick.
The job market is looking a bit stronger than thought before with release of the September employment report. Payrolls growth came in about twice the amount expected at 336,000, with a total of 119,000 jobs.